Once again, let me say how delighted I am to be with you tonight. And this day, Pat and I, my wife, have enjoyed our fellowship with you, and of course especially with Alan and Joan, whom we've known so many years. We appreciate his ministry in London. When he comes through from Northern Ireland, usually going back to America, he comes to my church and preaches for me, and we all appreciate his ministry indeed. We were praying for him as you were praying for me when recently he had some medical problems, and I was told by some of his friends there that he'll be much quieter and won't be able to talk too much after that. I'll be able to tell them when I get back that he's much louder and he's trying to make up for lost time. I'm sure that is true. I said to you this morning about you having no clock, and probably it's appropriate with your minister. When I was in BJU, of course, I don't know if you've ever been in that pulpit. It's quite an ordeal, sitting right at the back in those throne-like chairs at the back, and then knowing it's your turn next, and having to walk the 20 steps while everyone is watching you before you get right up into the pulpit. And then there's a clock there that's already ticking away, and it ticks down your time. It's a digital one, and you know you have 40 minutes, and soon you know you only have 3 minutes. But mind you, you can put your Bible on the top of it and you don't see it at all, so you're all right there. When I've been preaching in Dr. Paisley's church, he, like many Free Presbyterians, he has a clock in his pulpit. It's if you've been there in Belfast, you'll know that it's a very wide, large pulpit made of stone. It used to have a pulpit that was about this big. Literally this big, and it went back here. And when you went there, he always insisted on you sitting in the pulpit with him, and he's a very active man, flying his arms all around, and you got hit everywhere. But it's not as like that now. It's a great big pulpit, but in the middle there's a clock, and it's sunken in, you see, to the rest that you have for your Bible just there, and you can see the clock and you can know exactly how, you know, the time is going, except for one detail. I've never seen it go. So it must be a Free Presbyterian trope, mustn't it? It really must. However, enough of that. Dr. Kern said to me just before that, he said, after this hymn, you're on your own. I said, I hope I'm not. I hope people are not going to leave. I'm here to preach. Anyway, I'm glad you stayed. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Psalm 71. I've always felt it very important to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, as indeed we read those words in the book of Haggai. And during this trip particularly, I've been much in prayer that the Lord would give me the right message for the right occasion. It's easy to go elsewhere and just preach, but it's harder sometimes to know the mind of the Lord and to be absolutely sure just what he wants you to bring. Well, I've been praying very much today about what I should bring, especially tonight. The Lord laid the message this morning on my heart, and I was quite sure of that. But it wasn't until this afternoon that the Lord really laid this upon my heart, and I trust that it will be a blessing for some soul here tonight. Psalm 71, I'm going to read a few verses. I think it's a good thing to publicly read the Word of God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thine honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Thus reads the word of God. May he be pleased to bless it to each of our hearts and lives this evening. Let us bow just for a word of prayer. Once again we bow in thy sacred and holy presence, and we thank thee, our gracious God, that we can come to thee in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee again for the precious blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross at Calvary for sin and for sinners. And we come in that blood this evening and ask thee now that thou be pleased to bless us through thy word. Speak to us in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to try this evening, if I can, to speak to you from that first verse that we read from this psalm. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The Psalms are a wonderful book, and I'm sure that every person here who knows their Bible have found great comfort and help in reading the Psalms in their daily devotions. You will know, of course, that the Psalms can be categorized in different ways. There are, like Psalm 1, for instance, instructional psalms, which teach us in which way we should walk. There are psalms also of history, looking back upon Israel's past and speaking of God's goodness and greatness to his people. And there are psalms looking the other way, prophetic psalms, looking to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and even beyond unto the second coming and what is to come then and after as well. But we also know that there are psalms of praise, such as Psalm 150, which really says nothing else than just praise the Lord. And of course the word hallelujah appears so many times in the wonderful psalms. Psalms of prayer, when we're allowed to go right into the innermost place with the psalmist and hearing pour out his soul unto the Lord. And then, of course, there are psalms that we have to call devotional, or perhaps we may call them personal, because we understand as we read them, the psalmist is speaking about his own personal self. And again, we're allowed to hear him with all his complaints and all his troubles and trials, pouring them out before the Lord and indeed asking God to help him. I think that this psalm that we have for our consideration tonight is a personal psalm. And we have it summarized almost in the first verse, which is the verse of our text. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? What a wonderful book the Bible really is. Not only the Psalms, but the whole of this wonderful book that we have in our hand. It has the answer for every one of us on every day of our lives. Doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. If you're sick, turn to the Word of God. If you're sorrowing, turn to the Word of God. If you have a time of rejoicing, if you feel an uncertain future, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, we know that the Bible has the answer. What a wonderful book it is. I don't know how people get by without this wonderful book that you and I revel in and have even tonight. And also, it's a book for every situation, or if you like, every age. It's for young people, isn't it? And here we have young people in our service tonight. Look at verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. And the psalmist is looking back to his youth, and he says that even in my youth, this word of God brought me hope in my own heart and life. We may say that it's good for middle-aged people as well. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. We could apply that to any middle-aged person here tonight. And then, of course, you go on into the next verse, and we speak of older people as well. Now also, when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've shown thy strength unto this generation. So you see, it doesn't matter who you are in this service tonight, a boy or a girl, a child or a youth, a middle-aged person or an older person, this word is for you, isn't it? And the word of God has something to say to each one of us. I said a little this morning about when I had a heart attack, and during that year that I had two heart attacks, I was in and out of hospital 5 times. But finally I had to have a major operation, and I was in hospital, and I was told that the very next day I had to be operated on. We knew that there was a risk involved in it. We knew that maybe I wouldn't come through that, and of course we were full of apprehension of just what would really take place. In the morning, it was very early, I hadn't slept hardly at all that night, and very early in the morning they came in and prepared me for the operation, and they took me straight away to the operating theatre. And as I was going down, I was praying, and you could imagine. But suddenly it kept on coming into my heart and into my life. O Lord, in thee have I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, have I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, have I put my trust. And that's the last thing I ever remember going down under the operation. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord brings back words like that to our hearts and our lives? What can you do in that sort of situation? What can you do when you're up against it? When everything seems to be against you? When life itself seems to be coming to an end? What word can you get? You get nothing from the world. You get nothing from your television. You get nothing from yourself. Ah, but the Lord has something different, doesn't he? And he gives us this word. And so for every one of us here tonight, this can be for us. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me try to show you, first of all, the psalmist's troubles. We love the Psalms, don't we? And I've already indicated that. Because these Psalms contain our lives. Our experiences are here. Our hopes are here. And when you turn to a psalm like that, you can say, my, that's just like me. It really is. And I read it and I put myself in it, and I can see that what the psalmist was going through is exactly the same thing that I myself may be going through at that particular time. Now, most psalms, as you will be aware, will tell us about the human author. In other words, if you look at Psalm 70, you'll see to the chief musician a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. And you'll know then that David certainly wrote that particular psalm. Some people believe that Samuel wrote this psalm when he was with the school of the prophets. And he is speaking in this psalm as he looks back upon his past experience and his life. There are others who attribute this psalm to Jeremiah. In fact, the Septuagint, which of course is the Greek translation of the Old Testament and of the Hebrew, then they actually say that Jeremiah wrote this psalm. The Jews believe this, and that he wrote it while he was in exile in Egypt. Well, I don't know, but it seems to me to be very much David's psalm. And when you read this psalm, you really feel David must have wrote this particular psalm. Sometimes, perhaps when he was escaping from Saul as he tried to kill him. Perhaps it was the occasion when he had that terrible problem with Absalom. Or maybe it was another time when the Philistines or some other enemy was attacking David on every hand that he wrote this psalm, and he found solace and help and comfort in saying, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Let me, if I can, speak to you about the problems that he encountered. We all have problems. There's not a person here tonight who hasn't got a problem. And we all understand what problems really are. And David certainly had them. Let me show you what they were. We'll see first of all what he actually feared. In verse 1 it says, our text, and then goes on to say, "Let me never be put to confusion." Could you ever imagine David being put to confusion? Coming to a point where he didn't understand what was taking place, what was really happening to him, that he came to a point of confusion where he didn't know really what direction to take. And that's why he said the verse of our text tonight. And notice what he felt as well. In verse 2 it goes on and says, "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me." You see the sense of that. You'll see the feeling which he had, that he was shut up in a prison. He was hemmed in with his problems. His situation was claustrophobic. He felt smothered. And he needed to get out of this. "Deliver me. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear. Save me." And that's exactly how he felt. And you will see as well just what he faced in verse 4. "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." He was in a conflict. He was in a battle. And he needed indeed that the Lord should deliver him. We could almost summarize his problems by saying this. He was mixed up, confused. He was shut in with all his problems. He was let down by so many round about him. He was surrounded with no way out whatsoever. Have you ever felt like that? We've all got problems. Have you ever really felt just as a psalmist expresses himself here? And then the second thing that you'll see is not just his problems, but his pressure as well. We all have pressures, don't we? Young people here tonight have pressures. Pressure to pass their examinations. The working person has pressure to fulfill the responsibilities which are allotted to them. The mother has pressures of the family. The father has a pressure to provide the money to pay the bills. Recently we had our Prime Minister Blair on television, and he looked grey and drawn. And he'd obviously lost weight, and people were saying that there must be something wrong with him. The interviewer asked him about the pressures of being a prime minister. And he spoke about the international situation and the decisions that have to be taken. He spoke about the national problems that he faces every day. He spoke about the war in Iraq and the pressures that there are upon him from people who are against it and so on. In fact, he spoke about all the different pressures, and you wondered how any man really could get through in that sort of situation. He certainly got pressures. But he's not the only person, because every one of us have pressures here tonight. How can we get through those pressures? Here's a man, and you will see that he's the king of this great nation of Israel. He was the Prime Minister, he was the leader, he was the Chancellor of the Exchequer, he was the Foreign Minister, he was the one that led them out to battle. And now, look at verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. He has this pressure that's being put upon him. He feels cast off. He feels not wanted. His strength is waning. He feels useless and a burden. And we know that pressure comes from many forms, from our work and from the world, from our relationships. What could he do? What can we do? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. If that wasn't at all, you'll see also here that there's a third reason, and that is the persecution that he had. We turn again to verse 10. For mine enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul, take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. David always had enemies, didn't he? My, we could be here many hours speaking about the enemies that David had, because he was God's man. That's why he had enemies, of course. And all God's children will have enemies. There's no question about that. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look what these verses actually say. They're trying to find fault in him. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to accuse him. They're trying to mock him. They're trying to bring doubts in his mind. They're trying to destroy him. And that's what the devil does to every child of God. And if you really are serious about your Christianity, if you really want to be a man and woman of prayer, if you really want to know the word of God and the blessing of God upon your life, you'll find persecution. What do you do in that situation? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. So we pass from the psalmist's troubles tonight to speak to you about the psalmist's trust. The word, of course, is found here in our first verse, and it's found several times in this particular psalm. You will know that the word trust is the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament word faith. It's found 105 times in the Old Testament. And significantly, it's found 63 times in the Psalms. It's a word that occurs again and again. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 40, that psalm of testimony. And in verse 4, blessed is the man who maketh the Lord his trust. Again in another psalm, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land. Psalm 144, coming to the end of the book of Psalms, my Lord, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I trust. What a word, the psalmist's trust. Notice the place of his trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. His trust wasn't in man. That would fail him. It wasn't in luck or chance or some lottery or some gambling method. It wasn't in the stars to tell him the future. It wasn't even in himself, because he knew that in himself he would let himself down. His trust was in the Lord. Now, of course, I know that you will know this, that when the word Lord appears in small capital letters in the Old Testament, it's the name Jehovah in the Hebrew. It's the wonderful name of the Old Testament, isn't it? It's the covenant-keeping God that is mentioned here, the one who always keeps his promise. The everlasting God. That's the definition, really, of Jehovah. The everlasting God. The immutable God that never changes. And so we can say, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Immutable. Never changes. And in the New Testament we can say Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What a word that is. The God who keeps his promises. Remember how that word Jehovah is used so many times? Used to teach the ancient Jews who God was and what he could do. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And David said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I want to ask you tonight, where is your trust for the future? Who can tell what will take place tomorrow? Who can tell me just what will take place during the next week? Not one of you. Doesn't matter how clever you may be. Doesn't matter what qualifications you may have. You can't tell me and guarantee that you'll have another day to live, let alone what will actually take place in your life. And it's so necessary and so vital that every one of us here tonight understands and realizes that there's only one guarantee. And that is if we put our faith and trust in the God of heaven. And therefore, by doing that very act, then surely our lives are in the hands of God. And he will indeed do his will in and through us. The place of his trust. Notice the purpose of his trust as well. What did he trust God for? Well, it's all in the verses. Let me try and show you. First of all, it was for salvation. Verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Salvation. That word deliver, of course, just means the same thing. Salvation. Well, that's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? And the world doesn't like that word. We don't use it perhaps in normal, ordinary usage of the language. Years ago, especially in Northern Ireland, there used to be badges and people used to use and wear the badges, Jesus saves. But that became a mockery, and sometimes people used to laugh and ask, what does he save? But it was an opportunity to tell them what you meant and what it really means. But we believe that the Lord does save, saves us from our sins, saves us from eternal punishment. Saves us from the wrath to come. Saves us. What an experience to know that you're saved. And tonight, if you're in this service and you don't know what it means to be saved, oh, tonight come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save even unto the uttermost. And you'll go from this place knowing that your sins, even though they are many, are all washed away. There's a hymn in the ancient books which used to be sung many years ago, 'tis something more than gold, 'tis something more than gold, to know your sins are all forgiven, 'tis something more than gold. My friend, tonight you could be a millionaire, you could have everything that this world affords, but if you haven't got forgiveness of sins, what have you got when you come to the end of your life? But this psalmist, he put his trust in the Lord. And why? So that he might know salvation. And that he might know security in life. Look at verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Oh, how remarkable. You will see that 7 times he says this little word, my. Verse 1, my trust. Verse 3, my strong habitation and my rock and my fortress. Verse 4, my God. Verse 5, my hope. Verse 7, my strong refuge. Look at all those. They're his personally. They belong to him. They're mine. Oh, how remarkable this really is. My habitation, a place to live. My rock, from the storms and the troubles of life. My fortress, from the a military stronghold, from the attempts of the enemy. My God, the power to live as I should. My hope, the future. Whatever the future holds, God is my hope, my refuge. That city for the guilty, he's my refuge, the purpose of his trust. Can you not see how that's why we need to trust in the Lord tonight? Let me just say a word quickly about the promise in his trust as well. I turn to verse 16 because all the psalm goes together, it seems to me, and you can't almost just take one verse of it. But look at verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Where will he go? Anywhere? Do anything? Through anything? You see, he's prepared to go anywhere with God once he trusts him. Has the Lord been speaking to you about doing something in your life? Going somewhere? Something special the Lord has laid upon your heart? How can you do it? How can you go? You can. If first of all you can say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And then, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. The psalmist's trust. The third thing I want to speak to you about is the psalmist's testimony. Isn't it wonderful to have a testimony? That you can stand up, or in personal conversation, you can say to some person, there was a day when I realized that I was a sinner. And when I realized that Christ died for my sins and I received him as my Savior, there was a day when God opened my eyes. When God made me to come from death unto life. From the kingdom of Satan unto the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful thing it is to have a testimony. And there's always three elements in a testimony. Let me look at them here. Because this is the psalmist's testimony. First of all, there's the past. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. He's looking back, isn't he? And he's saying that there was a time when God saved him. God blessed him. If this is David, of course, we can remember how he was just a boy on the hillsides. And he was there with the sheep. And many of these psalms came into his heart and mind, and he sang them for all he was worth. It was there that the Lord, in his grace and in his mercy, revealed himself to him. But it wasn't just then. The Lord kept him, didn't he? When he went out to fight Goliath, when nobody would dare do it. Humanly speaking, it was foolishness. Humanly speaking, it was impossible. But God kept him, didn't he? And then look at his life up to this very moment. He's looking back and he could say, every moment the Lord has satisfied my soul. I believe we were all made for satisfaction. But the only thing you get in life is frustration. Unless you come to Christ. Unless you know the Saviour. The only satisfaction you can have is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a very famous man in our country. His name was Benjamin Disraeli. He was a Jew that was very successful in life as a novelist and as a statesman in our parliament. He came to the very end of his life and he wrote these words. He looked back in sourness and he said these words, youth, a mistake. Manhood, a struggle. Old age, a regret. No Christian would write those words, would they? Doesn't matter how much struggling you have, how much difficulty you have, and all the problems that may come. Oh no, life is not a regret. Oh no, not at all. It's not a mistake. When Christ saves you from your sin and brings you and puts your feet upon a rock, he gives you a song to sing forever, even through the valley of the shadow of death, until you enter those gates of glory and sing the hallelujahs around the throne of God in heaven. Look at the present. Notice the word now in verse 18. Now. Also, when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. So we have the past, here we have the present. And he appeals to God so that he might pass on before it's too late the wisdom and the words and the ways of God that God has given to him, that they might know the strength of the arm of God and the power of what God can do. And he says, O God, who is like unto thee? And that is what he wants to convey to all the other people around about him. Oh, how wonderful it is. So that we come to that point when we ourselves want others to know this wonderful message of how he saves and how he keeps. What about the prospect for the future? We've looked at the past and the present, but now we're looking forward into the future. And in verse 20, you'll see what he has to say. Thou hast shown me great and sore troubles. Thou wilt quicken me again, and thou shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. He's talking about resurrection there. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even with thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. And so on. What wonderful words these really are which he speaks of. But go back to verse 15. Because in verse 15 he says this, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Here it is. For I know not the numbers thereof. What about the future? He's uncertain about the future, isn't he? He's uncertain of how long he's going to remain. I know not the numbers. I don't know how many days I'm going to live, how many years I'm going to live, but those days are going to be days of hope. He has the hope of heaven. He has the sureness of resurrection. He has the sureness of reigning. That's just what we've been speaking about here. It was Browning, the poet, who said the words that we've often quoted, the past, that the best, rather, is yet to be. Is that true for you? Looking back, we praise God and we thank God. But my friend, this life is nothing compared with what it shall be. The best is yet to be. The Christian can say that one day we're going to swap our troubles for the rest of heaven. We're going to swap our pain for the pleasure of heaven. We're going to swap our problems for the praise of heaven. We're going to swap our sorrow for the joy. We're going to swap this sinful earth for the great salvation, our helplessness, for heaven above. But can you say that tonight? Here's the challenge. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Could every one of you say that? Could you put your name to this verse and say that that is your verse? An old man died. He had little of this world's goods left. And when they went through his goods, all they could find that seemed to be of any value, if that was any value, was an old worn Bible. And that old worn Bible had a margin. And there were letters in the margin. They were just the letters T.P. They didn't know what these letters stood for or what they meant. And they searched through now, being inquisitive, to find out just what these letters really meant. And suddenly they found that he'd written them in full. Trusted and proved. The old man came to a text. And he saw that it was the word of God. And he would trust it. And he would put his trust in that word. And it wasn't long before he could put the P there as well. Prove to be true. We could do that, couldn't we? And this verse tonight, would you be prepared to put the T there tonight? Because I believe this, that it wouldn't be long before you could say, prove to be true. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust.
Let's bow together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face. As we come to the end of the service this evening, You've heard about a testimony that it's good to be saved, and it's good to know you're saved, and to be able to raise your personal statement of faith, of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight if that is your testimony. Have you ever come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever turned your eyes on the Lord Jesus? It's very easy to take for granted as we sit among God's people from week to week. It's very easy to take for granted that, yes, you're saved. Everybody's saved. In Greenville, wherever you go, everybody says he's saved, or almost. But I wonder, have you ever really come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Trust you'll think of that. All you young folk who have been born into Christian homes, brought through Christian schools, raised in Christian churches, make sure tonight that your trust is in Christ. If you find you're not saved, come and have a word with God's servant. He'd be glad to talk with you. Dr. Barrett or Mr. Brame or I would be happy to help you. It's time to seek the Lord. And of course, trust is something that goes on and on, living the life by faith in Christ. If you're facing the troubles of life, there's nowhere to have your trust but in the Lord. In a moment we're going to sing a hymn about faith. I trust you'll be seeking the Lord now and asking the Lord for grace to put the full weight of your dependence upon Him and His Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that our God is a God to be trusted. We praise Thee that our Saviour is one who cannot fail. We rejoice that Thou wilt never allow a believer to be confounded. We thank Thee that the hope that Thou dost give maketh not ashamed. We rejoice that when every poor man cries, he will come to the place of knowing that God has heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Lord, bless Thy word this evening to the saving of souls and to the settling of souls. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt spread a great calm, a great peace, a peace of assurance and security, the peace of joy in the Lord, the peace of certainty that the Lord is in control and He's doing all things well. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause that great peace to fill the hearts and minds of Thy believing people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.